Hello, hello, guys. I'm Maria. Thank you so much for tuning in to Illy Live Bible Study. I'm sitting here with Marcus Catastrophe Illy and Vicky Davis. We're going to be reading Matthew chapter 22 today. We're in for some good news.
Deep in the chapter.
All right. So we're going to get our prayer from Vicky. Let's pray.
Lord, we give you honor, we give you glory, for you alone are worthy to be praised, Lord. We magnify your name, God. We come to you today with thanksgiving. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for salvation and healing. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see another day. This is the day that you have made. We gladly rejoice in it. We thank you for bringing us together again to study your word. As we ingest your holy word, Lord, give us revelation, knowledge, understanding, insight, and discernment. May your word minister to and be a blessing to us and all who hears and receives it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen again.
All right, so like I said, we're going to be reading Matthew chapter 22. The entire chapter is about 46 verses. The first part, a story about people invited to a dinner. Matthew 22, verse 1. Jesus used some more stories to teach the people. He said, God's kingdom is like a king who prepared a wedding feast for his son. He invited some people to the feast. When it was ready, the king sent his servants to tell the people to come, but they refused to come to the king's feast. So those of you who are following along, we are in the easy reading version. Mm-hmm. Then the king sent some more servants. He said to them, I have already invited the people, so tell them that my feast is ready. I have killed my best bulls and calves to be eating. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But when the servants told the people to come, they refused to listen. They all went to do other things. One went to work in his field, and another went to his business. Some of the other people grabbed the servants, beat them, and killed them. The king was very angry. He sent his army to kill those who murdered his servants, and the army burned their city. After that, the king said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready. I invited those people, but they were not good enough to come to my feast. So go to the street corners and invite everyone you see. Tell them to come to my feast." So the servants went into the streets. They gathered all the people they could find, good and bad alike, and brought them to where the wedding feast was ready. And the place was filled with guests. When the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in the right clothes for a wedding. The king said, "Friend, how are you allowed to come in here? You are not wearing the right clothes." But the man said nothing. So the king told some servants, "Tie this man's hands and feet. Throw him out into the darkness where people are crying and grinding their teeth with pain." Yes, many people are invited, but only a few are chosen. The Jewish leaders—that's the title.
The Jewish leaders try to trick Jesus. And again, people, we are in the easy reading version, and we are now at verse 15 of Matthew 22. All right. Then the Pharisees left the place where Jesus was teaching. They made plans to catch him saying something wrong. Those guys. They sent some men to Jesus. There were some followers. There were some of their own followers and some from the group called Herodians. They said, "Teacher, we know you are an honest man. We know you teach the truth about God's way. You are not afraid of what others think about you. All people are the same to you. So tell us what you think. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus knew that these men were trying to trick him. So he said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to catch me saying something wrong? Show me a coin used for paying the tax." They showed Jesus a silver coin. Then he asked, "Whose picture is on the coin and whose name is written on the coin?" They answered, "It is Caesar's picture and Caesar's name." Then Jesus said to them, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God." When they heard what Jesus said, they were amazed. They left him and went away. Some of the Sadducees tried to trick Jesus. That same day, some Sadducees came to Jesus. Sadducees believed that no one would rise from death. The Sadducees asked Jesus a question. They said, "Teacher, Moses told us that if a married man dies and had no children, his brother must marry the woman. Then they will have children for the dead brother. There were seven brothers among us. The first brother married but died. He had no children. So his brother married the woman. The second brother also died. The same thing happened to the third brother and all the other brothers. The woman was the last to die, but all seven men had married her. So when people rise from death, whose wife will she be?" Jesus answered, "You are so wrong. Yes, you are. You don't know what the scriptures say, and you don't know anything about God's power. At the time when people rise from death, there will be no marriage. People will not be married to each other. Everyone will be like the angels in heaven. Surely you have read what God said to you about people rising from death. God said, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' So they were not still dead because he is the God only of living people." When the people heard this, they were amazed at Jesus' teaching.
"Which command is the most important?" We're on verse 34 in the Easy Reader Version. The Pharisees learned that Jesus had made the Sadducees look so foolish that they stopped trying to argue with him. So the Pharisees had a meeting. Then one of them, an expert in the law of Moses, asked Jesus a question to test him. He said, "Teacher, which command in the law is the most important?" Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and most important command. And the second command is like the first. Love your neighbor, the same as you love yourself. And all the law and the writings of the prophets take their meaning from these two commands. Is the Messiah David's son or David's Lord?" Verse 41. So while the Pharisees were together, Jesus asked them a question. He said, "What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he?" The Pharisees answered, "The Messiah is the son of David." Jesus said to them, "Then why did David call him Lord? David was speaking by the power of the Spirit," he said. "The Lord God said to my Lord, sit by me at my right side, and I will put your enemies under your control." David calls the Messiah Lord, so how can he be David's son? None of the Pharisees could answer Jesus' question. And after that day, no one was brave enough to ask him any more questions.
Those Pharisees, boy, they be trying to play mind games, trying to tell riddles.
And they weren't brave enough to ask another question, no worry.
What?
You know, what stood out to me in this chapter, I would have to say, is that every time someone tried to trick him, not only did he shut it down, but the other people listening were amazed. Every time he responded or answered a question, each time they were amazed. And, you know, I mean, you gotta have a real way of words, of really be speaking the truth. If, I mean, somebody's trying to trap you into saying some foolishness, for starters, and not only do you, right, not only do you shut them down, but you got the audience amazed by what you're saying.
That's how converting works right there.
You know, and I think that Jesus had a very captivating spirit and aura. He had a very captivating presence. You know, and the fact that Jesus's presence was so captivating, clearly from what we've read, not just in this chapter, but in all the other previous chapters, it goes to show that everyone who just did not want to accept his teaching, they just did not want to accept what he was saying. I mean, it's really proof that they had to be fighting it. I mean, they either had to be just extremely evil or really just trying to fight that gravitational pull. You know what I mean? I feel like the word of God and salvation and having a relationship with God does have that gravitational pull, in a sense that it just, when you're really saved, you just want to be in that presence. You just want to be closer to God. I think sometimes we all have like lazy moments when, you know, as humans, we don't want to read our Bible every, you know, time, or we're just tired because we have everyday life. That's why I like to do it in the morning, so that I don't even have to have the excuse of, oh, I'm tired, I don't want to get to it. But we do have those moments where we're like, okay, well, I just want to watch something else on TV, or I don't feel like going to church, or I don't feel like reading my Bible. But at the same time, as Christians, I think we still have all felt that pull,
right?
That desire, you know. And the fact that the Sadducees and these other people, that the fact, the Jewish leaders, the fact that they were acting the way they were acting, I think that it says a lot about whether they were really saved, which we already knew anyway.
Especially with those Pharisees.
Yeah, because we knew
all
Pharisees.
Those Sadducees came trying to be tricky. It still wasn't the same as the Pharisees.
Yeah, they were hypocrites.
Yeah.
And they got so set on law that they forgot about the love of God.
Yeah, and they keep trying to put people in God's position. Like when they ask the question about Caesar, like, you know, Caesar's, yeah, he's a king. I get it in the you know, the natural realm, but come on, stop. Caesar is not God. So please stop trying to ask the questions to make Jesus say that Caesar is like God. I mean, come on. Did you really think he was going to answer it that way?
Right.
You know, I think this chapter is a metaphor for the time that we're in now, because right now, I can't even say right now, it's been something for a long time where, as Christians, you know, you get all these people to ask all these questions, trying to get pretty much Christians to act human.
Right.
And you know, you can be Christian. You know, you can be Christian and then you have a moment where, you know, the flesh shows itself, which, right, as Christians, it happens to everybody. We can't, you know, deny that, because, you know, we're human. But you can bless 1,000 people, and on that 1,001, you act human. They'll forget that last 1,000. Oh, forget all the people you didn't help. Forget the goodness of your heart, all of that. And then they just pinpoint that one moment. That's, they were trying to get Jesus to that one point, you know. But I mean, obviously, I'm not Jesus, you know.
Yeah, you can't trap Jesus. He's much smarter.
You know,
he's wiser than any of us, obviously.
I got it. I have an example, and y'all bear with me. It's an unorthodox example. So, yes, I am I'm a Christian rapper, and I frequently watch battle rap just because, you know, the art of rap intrigues me. There are Christian battle rappers. Yes, y'all, I said that. There are Christian battle rappers. And I was watching a Christian battle rapper about to battle a secular battle rapper.
Something.
Now, they have these things called face-offs, where it's like a, it's like a press conference for the two battlers before they go into the battle. And so the secular battle rapper says to the Christian battle rapper, he was like, so what are you going to rap about? He was like, you're a Christian, right? So, you know, you rapped about guns before in battle rap, right? And mind you, y'all, this is 2021. In fact, the battle happens tonight, just to let it be known that it's in present tense. Now, the reference that the secular battle rapper was referencing, the moment he was referencing to, was from 2017.
So he was acting like the Pharisees.
2017. Now, I'm going to tell you what the Christian rapper said to him. He was like, are you a Christian? He was like, but you're a Christian battle rapper. He said, no. Are you a Christian? He was like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but you're a Christian battle rapper. He's like, so you're going to tell me you're a Christian and you're going to rap about guns, but then say I'm a Christian battle rapper, so I can't rap about guns?
Y'all both Christian battle rappers. I'm lost.
Exactly. That's the Pharisees. They're saying that. He said, you're a Christian battle rapper. I'm just a Christian. And the Christian battle rapper said, he said, if you say you're a Christian.
That says a lot. That you're not including Christ in your battle rapper. That makes it worse.
You know, the secular battle rapper even went as far to say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I probably know more about the Bible than you.
Yeah.
So that's a perfect example of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. He said, because the Christian battle rapper said, if you tell me you're a Christian, I'm going to look at you the exact same way that you're saying you look at me. So you telling me, you're holding me to a standard of a 2017 me in 2021 when you're saying you're a Christian in 2021 instead of rapping about shooting people's heads off. Yeah. The Pharisees, man. That's all I have to say. Sorry, y'all. You got to walk with me.
In relation to the parable of the wedding feast.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's the most important part.
Not good enough to come. Go on.
You know, God really wants everyone to be saved. He calls everyone to salvation. And he's offered salvation through grace to everyone, but many are called through a children.
Absolutely.
People are rejecting the free gift.
Mm-hmm.
Which is strange. Who?
Yeah, it's definitely a free gift.
A free gift.
And that's already been paid for.
And it seems strange that those invited refuse an invitation to a royal wedding. Who doesn't want to go to a royal wedding?
Yeah, that's free food, man.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was invited in the end.
I mean, imagine if somebody. Imagine if you find a PlayStation 5 at your door. And they say, it's yours, it's already paid for. You're going to say, oh, no, I don't want it. Is that what's going to happen? It's already been paid for. Just go in, accept it. It's free.
Yeah, I think the story also kind of indicates that people like us, you know, the people who are delivering the message, the servants of Christ, if you hurt us, there will be repercussions. God is going to make sure that you are repaid for any sins that you commit against his people.
And trust me, y'all, we've seen it more than once.
Yeah.
And I'm not the person that'll say, listen, if you mean to me, God gonna get you. I'm not that guy.
I'm to the point now where when somebody does me really wrong, that I actually feel sorry for them.
Right, you know?
Because I'm afraid for what might happen to you.
Well, there is danger in rejecting Jesus.
Well, we definitely know that. I mean, and that's in the parable here, as well, the story here as well, how he's talking about them being thrown into the darkness where people are crying and grinding their teeth with pain. That's in verse 13.
And y'all know what that is.
And see, the thing is...
y'all know what that is.
The reason why that's Kanye. Don't accept the free gift of salvation is because they don't want to let go of a lot of things they're doing, or they think once they become a Christian they can't do these things. Now the Holy Spirit will shape in us, and you know he will work with us. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you need to accept that free gift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
While you're alive, you can't accept.
Absolutely.
Yeah, while you're alive, for sure.
And so
you don't want to be the one that comes in dressed with the wrong clothes. Come to the wedding in the wrong clothes, because you will be thrown out.
So they want to continue on in their sin, their sinning. Yeah. They want to continue to party and do all these different things, thinking that they can't do these things once they accept salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, the Holy Spirit will work with you, and once you really get deep into your walk, it's going to be a lot of things you're not going to have interest in doing.
Right, right.
And that's the thing about God. You know, like we were saying, you know, the there is consequences that come with hurting God's people, but it's so funny that consequence also can come in the form of, you know, giving you a reason to join these people. Perfect example. My father, rest his soul. You know, as I was growing up in my younger age, you know, my father wasn't the best person. Not to say that I was either, but, you know, I was a child and I had a different view of it. And I used to always say to myself, this is how around high school, that's when I was like deep inside of the church, youth president and all of that. You know, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all in church every day of the week. I used to say to myself, I pray that my father don't get what he deserved because of the things that he's done. Fast forward later on in life, the consequence didn't come as any, you know, physical or anything like that, because people tend to, you know, when they say consequence, they, you know, take the worst thing they can think of and put that in place. But really for him, it was just conviction. And he was convicted to the point that he hated talking about how he used to be. And Maria can tell you, I swear if you ever around him, you're going to hear something about God or Jesus. Like,
you know, once he really turned his life around, he had really done it. And this is the thing, you know, just like what Vicky was just saying, who's also my mom. It's weird that I'm calling her Vicky in this recording, but I want you to know who I'm talking about. Because if I just say mom, you're like, that's not my mom. But just like what she was just saying, in regards to just people don't want to get saved, if they're still trying to live that old life. The thing is, if you're not saved currently, I don't want you to become discouraged in a form of just turning down salvation altogether. And I know she did pretty much just say that, you know, once you're deep in it, you know, you won't want to do those things anyway. And that is true. So we all start as babies in Christ. I mean, that's what I like to call it. I still kind of see myself as a baby, maybe a teenager.
She a baby. I'm a fetus.
But you know, the point is, we all start somewhere when we get saved. And technically, there are also people who are not saved that still have morals.
Yeah.
So morals is something that is also setting us unsaved or saved.
Yeah.
So the thing is, when you first become saved, the first thing that you really want to do is you want to make sure that you have other believers that you can speak to, that can be a friend, someone in the church, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, anybody. And you want to stay in prayer. You want to continue to pray that God removes all evil desires from you. And you mm-hmm. want to keep praying for that. Even now, like, I can't say that there is anything that I really just struggle with to the point that I'm like, this is causing me to sin every day. I can't think of anything right now. Mm-hmm. But even now, I'm going to continue to still pray to remove any. Even if right. I can't think, what I'm saying is, even if you can't think of any current negative or evil desires, you still want to keep praying for that, praying that he continues to remove any evil desires from you. And Satan's always going to try to tempt you. He's always sure. going to try to put things in your head. And sometimes you might even think of something and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? I was not even trying to
yeah.
do that. But you know, you want to pray about that, and you want to stay. That does not mean reading your Bible only. That does not mean going to church only. You should do all of these things. I know we're in a pandemic right now, so maybe you want to do church at home or from the TV, from the radio, YouTube, whatever you want to do. But only watching church is also not going to help you.
Yeah, because that's a person up there, you know.
Right, and you know, there are pastors. I have a couple of pastors that I love right now that have even admitted to kind of preaching the wrong thing or preaching something that they later found out was not right. Like Stephen Furtick, he has done it. Pastor Michael Todd has done it. I think Creflo has done it. And they have openly
admitted. And they've all done it, really.
Of course. I mean, we're human. But what I'm saying is they have openly admitted
right,
it. And they're not shameful about it. That's why I wanted to mention those few people.
Based on what they were taught.
Right.
And someone else.
Exactly. And what I'm saying is, the point is, they're humans. And so sometimes they might unintentionally teach something that isn't quite right.
Right.
Now, they had great intentions and they were really trying to guide you and do what the Lord God wanted them to do. But you need to have that word in you for yourself. It can't just be what you're hearing. You need to read the word and get your own interpretation from the Holy Spirit in you.
And in terms of the spirit, you know, we reference it as like a gravitational pull, you know, because you want to do everything that you can to strengthen that gravitational pull, because, you know, everybody has the spirit in them. You know, it's to what capacity do you unlock it? Even down to people who consider themselves atheists, you know, that's morals. Everybody grows up. Honestly, whether your mom or dad teaches you right or wrong, something in you knows right or wrong. And, you know, that gravitational pull is what is inside you that tells you that right or wrong. That's why, you know, no intention to offend anyone, but, you know, when atheists, you know, the question is always, you know, what is your moral compass? How do you know, like, what do you, since you don't, you know, believe in God or any higher being, you know, how do you decide right or wrong? But, and they'll tell you, you know, they just go based on their own or whatever. Yeah. But.
Which makes no sense.
But even in that, they know right or wrong. And that's the spirit in them. They just, you know, trying to bury it instead of trying to let it live.
And the fact of the matter is, if you're an atheist and you don't know right and wrong, I mean, when you really get to the point of just, you know, doing whatever you want to do and you have absolutely no conviction, no desire to repent ever, then that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And we know that is the point of no return. That is the point where you are no longer forgiven. I mean, quite frankly, how can you be forgiven if you don't repent?
But
once you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, I mean, that's it. And that's the point that you want to try to avoid getting to.
And that's why you read and surround yourself with like-minded spiritual people.
Right. You don't want to ever get to the point where you have absolutely no desire or conviction to repent at all. So definitely find a church home, read your Bible, and continue to just pray for him to help you to be more Christ-like. And I think it's really that simple. The more God comes into your presence, you know, the more that you get closer to him, I think the more you're going to want to and be willing to worship and praise him, because you're just going to feel like doing it. I mean, it's just like having a child or a spouse. Every time they do something nice or every time they do something good, you just begin to love them more and more. You're not loving them for the things that they can do, but it's just the way they treat you makes you love them more and more as they get older, as you get older with them. And so the same thing happens with our relationship with Christ. The more he comes into our mix and the more he continues to bless us. And when I say blessings, I'm not talking about material things, but the more that he just begins to smother us with his love, that is the more that we begin to love him.
I was going to pose a question. Does anybody outside of children, that is, do y'all feel like everybody knows what right and wrong is? Everybody, like that is well-minded and, you know, adult.
I'd have to say definitely to some degree. I think in the worldly aspect, maybe not. But, you know, since I know growing up, and this was growing up in scripture, we learned that everyone would be presented the opportunity to become saved.
Yeah, and
everyone in the world, before the rapture, everyone right. in the world must hear some type of pitch or whatever.
Everybody will bear witness.
Right. So that's what I was taught, you know. Because of that, at some point, everybody on earth will have the opportunity to get saved. I have to say from that, you know something. You know that Jesus is the way, or you have heard that Jesus is the way.
Yeah, and I asked separate from that. The reason why I asked, because I say even in doing wrong and, you know, not caring about it. I feel like anybody that does wrong knows it's wrong. They just don't care. And if you don't care, you know, you can hit some. I think with every person when they're about to do wrong, you know, something in them says, this ain't right. But then, you know, it follows with, but I don't care. Mm-hmm. And so if everybody knows something is wrong without being told, I don't think they have to be told that it's wrong to know that it's wrong. That is the spirit right there.
Yeah, the world would call it your conscience. Saved people, I call it the Holy Spirit.
It's just that, you know, your flesh is louder than the spirit in you now. Because, you know.
Yeah, we all have a flesh.
Yeah, but don't worry so much about what you're doing wrong now or what you've done.
Yeah, no.
It's not within your power.
Yeah.
I assure you, the Holy Spirit will be in you the minute you become saved. And at that point, you will know right from wrong. You will feel it in your spirit. Even if you don't listen to it, you will indeed feel it.
Then whether they're saved or not, spirit's still in them.
Yeah, don't let what you're doing or what you've done keep you from...
Oh, yeah, no, it's other stuff.
Not accepting this free gift that God has... that God wants to give to everyone. You have to receive it. He's not going to force it on you. And today is the day of salvation. You're not offered tomorrow, not even the next minute.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and get saved now while you have a chance. You never know.
Don't worry about what you plan on doing tonight. Just accept Jesus now while you have a chance.
Yeah, don't live with the way of thinking that, well, you know, I got all the time in the world. Because you don't.
I honestly believe that if you're planning on going to the club tonight, and you get saved right now and you truly mean it in your heart, even if you still go to that club tonight, I honestly feel like you're going to be there thinking about the fact that you just got saved.
You're not going
to
enjoy it.
Wanting to go home. I honestly believe that you're not going to be the same person. And you think you are, but you're going to get to that club and you're going to realize this ain't what I want.
And you don't even have to just feel it for yourself. The people around you are going to notice.
Everything's going to feel different for you. I assure you.
My wife can tell you. The people that she met in my life that knew me before this version of me tell her to say the same thing. He looks totally different.
I remember, well, about as old as you, 3 years ago, friends I hadn't seen in a while, they live in Raleigh. They came to visit and they wanted to hang out and go to the club. I'm like, and they were just begging and pleading with me, because in which they had to do that all the time anyway, even before I got saved. And I'm like, I ain't asking to go to no club. They said, you don't have to dance, you don't have to drink. I'm like, well, why go? Those are the things that you do when you go.
Mm-hmm. All right, because I could dance at home. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I went that time, but I ended up going some other time. And I mean, there, and everybody can see that I'm different from everybody else.
And I've always been that, like that. Even before I consciously made the decision to be saved, I've never been a clubber. It's just part of my personality.
They always had to beg me to go because I've never really been.
I've never been to clubber.
I was a hardcore partier, clubber, so to speak. ECU's finest, y'all. Arg, but honestly, I thank God for that, to have lived that, because, you know, I can feel the difference, like in a strong way, in a real way, you know. And when other people that I knew from back then see me now, when they see a difference, then I mean, that's a miracle to me.
Yeah, it's that's your wife that did that. You know what I'm saying?
All right, you know.
No, I'm kidding.
Well, so you ain't God now. You ain't God now, because whether I got with you or not, he was gonna take me there. Okay,
is that so?
Yes. But you know, people who are not saved, this is directly to you. You heard how these people, like the Pharisees, they'll try to trick God.
Yeah.
They'll try to trick Jesus, and Jesus knows it all. Everything that he needs to know to be spiritually sound, he knows. And you pick the people that aren't saved, you know, you got the book in front of you, but it's a blank page. And these people will try to write whatever they want to on these pages. Mm-hmm. And those pages will be what you take in, whether you hold on to it or not. But when you, if you're not saved, you become more susceptible to falling for whatever. And these people, because the devil is weak. He's weak. He's weak. The flesh is strong. The devil is weak. Devil manipulates the flesh. It's not him. It's just the world gives him so much more credit than he deserves. Because it's not him. It's the flesh. He knows every way to manipulate it that there is possible to make you fall for it. And he's crafty. Very, very, very crafty. He's only going to use what is specific to you. And if you don't know and if you don't have the spirit inside you, it's almost impossible to fight against it. It's almost impossible. And then you dig yourself inside of a hole. Then your mental starts getting attacked. Then you start recognizing God. Then you'll start telling yourself and you'll believe it that you're not good enough to be a part of that. And that's where the devil wants you to be. I can't speak for everybody else, but I feel like every Christian who had the transformation has been there, because, you know, I think everybody has a point in their life where in their mind they did the worst that they can do. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's worst is different. Somebody's worst might be, you know, taking a lollipop from a child. Somebody's worst might be throwing a piece of paper on the ground.
Somebody's worst might be murder.
You know, but that worst, you know, they're living that worst for so long that they don't feel like they deserve to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And that's what the devil preys on, those moments like that.
Because if he, think about it. I mean, Satan, and people don't even realize how strategic Satan is. His main goal is to keep you from turning your life over to God, to keep you out of heaven so you can join him in hell.
That's a very deliberate task.
That is his main goal. And with that being said, obviously, he's going to attack you in a way that's best for you. So let's think about this. If he can convince you that you don't even deserve salvation, then he has already convinced you to not repent.
You ain't got to do the work.
Once he pretty much has your mind made up that you don't deserve it, you ain't even going to try it. That point. He don't even have to bother you no more. Because he already got you right where he wants you. He already know you ain't going to God because you feel like you don't deserve to. But the Bible says that there is absolutely nothing that we can do within our power other than get saved. There's nothing that we can do to change God's love for us, to make him love us any more, any less. This is not within our power.
Yeah. And we
wouldn't be able to do enough. None of us deserves it.
And we can't.
And it has been awarded to us through salvation.
And we can't make the decision for you either.
Yeah. But listen to this. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Every day, actually.
Don't let what you're doing or what you're planning to do tonight or what you even did last night keep you from accepting salvation. It's not so much of what you do or what you're doing. That God is looking at. Now he's looking at you not accepting his son, his free gift. And remember, there's a danger in rejecting God. And you don't know when your time is coming to see your maker. So the best thing to do is do it now while you still have breath. While you're still in your right mind.
Yep, because people that are considered bad, people that are considered good, atheists, Jewish people, Muslims, whoever, all are created by God. Every last one of them. And created in his image. Created in his image. Key phrase I want to key in on that. Created in his image. So, to become spiritually sound, to accept that free gift, as she said, is to become self-aware. The more that you are self-aware, the more that you can tell the devil, whatever sin you do, that's not me. That's not me. I'm not that person. You know, the person that I used to be, I'm not him.
You are who God says you are. You are not your flesh. And I don't want to delay any further. I'm going to say this sinner's prayer out loud. And anyone who's interested at all in getting saved, we're going to pray this with you. And we're going to spiritually be here with you in this journey. And of course, we can be emailed at any time as well for a prayer request. But I'm going to say this prayer. God, I am sorry for my sins. Please forgive me for my sins. I believe that you sent your only son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins and that he rose on the third day. I surrender my life to you, Lord. Please come into my heart. Transform me and renew me. Lead me, guide me, and direct my path. Order my steps in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
If you have amen. Just said that prayer, be at peace, knowing that you have just received salvation and eternal life. When you feel weak or tempted, pray, read your Bible, speak to a counselor, pastor, role model, that can biblically help you deal with what's going on in your life. Find you a church home, attend church services, Bible studies, join a Bible reading group in your community or
times.
Share the good news about your newfound salvation with others and develop your relationship with God by praying as often as possible. Remember, ignore naysayers, negative comments, and jabs such as it doesn't look like you've changed to me or you've done too much for God to forgive you, just like what we were just talking about. Statements like that are false and the opposite of what's said in our Bibles. So keep in mind that change takes time, especially visible change in the eyes of man.
In the eyes of man. That's a very, 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 like, in the eyes of man, that's important to pay attention to. In the eyes of man. Man cannot do or be what God is.
Humans cannot see what God sees. So focus on making your Heavenly Father proud, opposed to listening to negative people who don't even love you as much as God does anyway. Be the example. Be the example for your non-saved friends by continuing in your choice to gain a relationship with God. God will strengthen you and tell you what to say at the right time to give you wisdom. That's what you need to pray for. Definitely pray for wisdom as well. And he will help you remain peaceful during hard times. So just keep the faith.
And I get it, y'all. I know when you're not saved and, you know, you're not walking the walk, so to speak. You know, it gotta look different when you see people and they're talking about spirituality or Jesus and God. It gotta look different.
I'm having just as much fun as you guys, sinners. I mean, I'm probably having more fun because I'm actually happy.
I've been there, man. And I've watched the old folks talk about God and be like, man, they've been talking forever.
I guarantee you, all the non-believers who thought that they were just so joyful when they were locked in that house and everything got taken away, I bet their tails weren't joyful then. That's why so many people killed themselves also during the pandemic. I mean, and people are killing themselves anyway. These people who are already out here having the time of their life, quote unquote, rich people, they're killing themselves. They're unhappy. They're shooting their grandmother. I mean,
these people, many of these people, well, first of all, none of you.
Stop funny. I've heard
first
so
of
much.
All, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior after doing the sinner's prayer, angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. They have a party right now, a praise party.
Holy party.
Because you received salvation.
Absolutely.
No Hennessy.
Turn up your weight.
We ain't drinking Hennessy, we drinking holy water. Mm-hmm. Out here.
The point is, Jesus gives us true joy. The kind of joy that won't be ripped away the minute what you thought was making you happy is gone. So that man or that woman that you with that you feel like making you happy, I guarantee you, you'll still be happy when he's gone if you have true joy from Jesus.
And let me say this too, because I don't like when people act like because you're a Christian, life got to be boring. Really, really.
Oh, absolutely. Really, life really, is not boring.
Really, really, really hate that. Hey, I literally just said I watch battle rap. I'm a Christian, guys. I believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I believe that he died so that my sins can be forgiven. Trust me, y'all. I'm one of those old people that when people start talking about Jesus, I join the conversation now. And, you know, I lose track of time in the conversation, too. I call it the holy glow. When you got it, you got it. If you know, you know. When you see it, you feel it. You feel it, you see it. All of that good stuff. So, please, listen. Just because I'm Christian, guess what? Six Flags still exists, okay? Just because I'm Christian, guess what? I still like Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's all good. I still go to cookouts, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I drink sparkling water now, but I still go to cookouts. I still have fun. I still can do a mean two-step. So please stop thinking because we're Christians, we just got to have the perfect life. Listen, it's knowing that you can't do it by yourself. That's the biggest thing. Everybody's relationship with God ain't the same as everybody else's. You talk to God how you talk to God, and he talks to you how he talks to you. You don't talk to me how you talk to Maria or how you talk to Vicky. It's all the same. You know, you take the role that you want to take within your spiritual life, and you own it. Me, I like to think of as a soldier. Every day I go outside and be like, Satan, what you got?
Yes, and honestly, when Jesus was on the earth with his disciples, and he told them, you know, he was leaving them for a while, but God was going to send his helper, which is the Holy Spirit. And so we know that when you're saved, you can't physically see Jesus right in front of you, but you have the Holy Spirit in you, residing in you. So once you're saved, you now have that Holy Spirit in you who is going to help lead and guide you and direct your path. But in addition to that, I also want to point out that this is not... It's not a one day type of walk.
No, it's not a 1 year type of walk. This is a lifetime.
Yeah. And it's still going to be fun. I mean, you're still going to have some struggles.
Yes.
Things are going to happen. Honestly, things are probably going to happen more. And I don't want that to sound discouraging. But if you're not a threat to Satan, it means that he ain't worried about you getting saved. He ain't worried about you going to heaven. If you're a threat to him, that's when he's going to try the most to get at you, you know. And so, you know, that's definitely something to think about. So when you're going through hard times and struggles and just issues, just remember, you know, this is your opportunity to defeat the devil. This is your chance to laugh at him and curse him right in his tracks and say, devil, you have already been defeated. Christ has won, and this ain't nothing but a thing. You know, God got me.
And just like
peace people, comes from God.
And just like people gossip in life as, you know, non-Christians, we do it. It just sounds different. My gossip be like, guess what, man? Can you believe what Satan tried to do today? He really thought he thought he could get me. You know what I did to him? I stepped on him. But you know, it's a journey, but it's worth it. It's more than worth it. Honestly, we don't deserve it. But
yeah.
He said he sent his son to die for us so that we may have everlasting life. Everlasting. That means forever.
Absolutely. And so, like I said, really the point is I don't want anyone to be discouraged about getting saved in a sense that you feel like you don't deserve it or that you're not ready. None of us ever, we never are ready. You're either saved or you're not saved. And when you're not saved, you're not ready. But once you get saved, God will help you get ready. It's not a, you're going to get help on getting ready and then you're going to get saved. Who are you getting help from?
Right.
If you're not saved, you're not getting Holy Spirit help. Let's think about this for a second. Who's helping you make the transition to getting saved?
Because if you're making a transition, I promise you, it ain't the man saved. I don't know what it is you're transitioning to.
So it's not a, I'm not ready to get saved. Let me just wait till next week. Or let me wait till my 30th birthday. You don't even know you're making it, first of all.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's no right time other than now.
Yep.
Now is the best time to get saved. Now. Whenever you're listening to this, I don't care if you're listening to this in 2025. Now. You're listening to this in 2019. Now. But we're past 2019. I'm just saying.
Right, we are.
So
we
go
are.
Ahead. Go ahead. Put on your wedding garment. Come on to the wedding. It's free. You've been invited.
They got chicken. Brand they got nice. Shrimp. They got, you know, they got cornbread. Any food that you like, I promise you it's there.
Yeah.
I mean, they might have one too.
Stop procrastinating.
But don't miss out on a good time.
Don't let that man or woman keep you from receiving that free gift.
Yeah.
Because they not worth not getting this gift.
It's really the only gift really worth having.
Yeah, everything that you could think that you want in, you know, material, everything at the wedding is better. And you don't have to have a wife to nag you.
Stab it with this pen.
I rebuke it.
When you make a mistake, don't feel bad. Just dust yourself off and keep going.
Aaliyah said it. Dust yourself off and try again. Try again.
Prophet Aaliyah.
Yes, with the minister of music, Sir Timberland.
Oh my God. All right, guys. So let's
get off this roller coaster.
Let's finish the study with a prayer. Anyone, if no one has anything else to add to this?
Well, just going back to the man in the story about the parable of the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
He came dressed inappropriately. You know, not wearing the clothes that he's supposed to be wearing to the wedding. So the inappropriate dressed man represents those who are not prepared for full commitment to God. So, like I said, just put on the wedding garment and come on to the wedding party. You've been invited.
And I do want to point out, at verse 41, we got into a little bit about, is the Messiah David's son and David's Lord? And it's interesting, of course, like I said, they kept asking, I really want to call it dumb questions. There's a lot in Matthew where we see that there are a lot of questions asked, and it's just like
really. Mainly from the Pharisees.
Yeah, they were truly some annoying sets of people.
Yeah, they get on my nerves.
But I do want to touch on that. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, it was definitely God promising that David was going to have an entire lineage of kings. And so Jesus is both, really. I mean, he's David's son and he's David's Lord. I mean, he's the son of David and David's Lord. I mean, in physical genealogy, he's obviously from the lineage of David. Jesus is a descendant of David by adoption through Joseph and by blood through Mary. And then really, I think when they called him the son of David, they were really referring to the messianic title. The son of David was expressing their faith in the fact that he was the Messiah. You know, he was the Son of God. And so the Son of David is just a reference to the fulfillment of the prophecy of David.
Yeah, so don't be confused with that. I know the wording is a little, you know, tricky in there.
People ask, how can he be the Son of David when he came, when one came first, or it was a long
time ago? Right.
They asked. But they're referring to the physical lineage when they ask that question. Obviously, the physical genealogy of things, he is a descendant of David. But also, like I said, spiritually, he is what was prophesied. He is the fulfillment of the prophecy from when God assured him that his kingdom would last for eternity.
Right.
And that's Jesus. Jesus is sitting with God.
And this is because they're just saying this is what was said a while before, and it actually happened. This is just a confirmation that it happened, pretty much.
So the Son of David reference is really a messianic title in regards to the fulfillment of the prophecy of David, like I said, which was the promise that his kingdom would last for all eternity. He would have a lineage of kings, and that kingdom would last forever. And we know on that part, in terms of a kingdom lasting forever, that he's obviously talking about Jesus.
Right, we know, because we know David ain't God, you know what I'm saying? We know that, guys.
So I just wanted to clarify that tidbit.
So, bow your heads, and if your eyes are closed, keep them that way. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to come together to study your word. Lord, we thank you for giving us the want to study your word. Lord, we pray that you continue to grow your word in us, continue to take these words and allow them to live and build inside of us so that we may carry it with us in our everyday life, so that we may inspire, so that we may bring souls to you, so that we may make miracles happen the same way that you did in the Bible, Lord. We just pray that you continue to give us wisdom, discernment, and understanding so that this word may grow in us and so that we may contribute to building the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for listening in. We hope that you tune in to the next episode. Definitely reach out. You can send us a voice message via the link in the description. You can also support us any way possible in the link, by using the link in the description as well. And we definitely appreciate your listens, and most of all we appreciate your growth from hearing this message.
Alright y'all, and when I say the body of Christ, I'm talking about us the people. I mean, I might be only a fingernail on the body of Christ, but I'm up there.
Until next time, be blessed. If you'd like to respond to tonight's Bible study and you have a comment, question, or concern that you'd like to speak about, feel free to leave us a voice message using the link in the description.